Well, I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be in church tonight, and I thank you, church, for all that y'all do for us, and I thank you for your prayers, and we are ready to be back home, amen. And but I'm not going to lie, there is days of emotions and days, and that's just part of being a missionary, amen, and I'm not complaining. I'm just explaining, amen, and so, but we are thankful and looking forward to getting back to the field and looking forward to what God has in store. We have a lot to do when we get back, just a very busy schedule all the way up till December, and I'm thankful for that, amen, and I'm glad that we're busy, and but please do pray for us, amen, and we have a lot of things that we're praying about this upcoming year, and we need the Lord to give us guidance and direction on everything, and I know that you'll pray for us, amen. Exodus chapter 32 tonight, and I just want to say I love my church here, and every time we come in, we are just thrilled to be able to be here. We watch it on live stream, and that's a blessing and all, but there's just nothing better than being here, amen, and the fellowship, and there's a lot of new faces since we first came to church. Amazing to think 13 years ago we came to Bible, and there's a lot of new faces, but I'm glad that things are the same, amen, and that's always a blessing to us. We don't have to go back to the field shaking our knees thinking something's going to happen and change, amen, and I'm thankful we got a good church. Exodus chapter 32, and I just want to be a help and kind of just give a little precaution, and preacher had mentioned about his preaching, and I just began to pray, and there's been a couple things that just the Lord stirred in my heart just since being here, and I like to pay attention. Now that I'm a missionary pastor, you look at things a lot differently, and the Lord has given us that desire and that heart of a pastor, I guess, and we're still learning a lot, but you start paying attention to things, and you start watching people, and I believe this will be what the Lord will have for us tonight. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1, the Bible says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him." Let's go down to verse 7. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." When we're reading the book of Exodus, we learn all the way back from chapter 19 that the Lord begins to share with Moses laws and rules and regulations for the Israelites. And as Moses is here spending time with the Lord, getting even more details about the tabernacle, we find that the people begin to, what verse 7 says, corrupt themselves. But there is a reason why, and we find that in verse number 1 when they say that Moses delayed. They saw that he was delayed, and then it says, "We want not what has become of this man." And I believe when we look at this, we can apply it in the sense of discontentment. And I want to preach on that thought tonight, on the downfall of discontentment, the downfall of discontentment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your help, and God, for your blessings upon our life. Lord, we know we're not worthy of them all, but God, we sure do thank you for what you've done. Lord, pray that you'd help us calm our nerves tonight, but God, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, I cannot do this without you, and Lord, I beg of you, God, touch me tonight. Help somebody. God, help young people. Help moms and dads. Lord, whatever you'd have to do, God, I pray that you'd get glory out of what you're going to accomplish tonight. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. When we look at this, I believe we see stages here of this downfall. I'm going to share those tonight, but then I also want to share some thoughts as how to keep from falling into this sin of discontentment. I want to see first here the declining stages of discontentment. We'll see stage one, the contamination stage, and this begins disappointment. And when we find this here, we find the word delayed. Here are the people, they're waiting on Moses, and they're standing there waiting to for him to come down, and they find themselves disappointed and bothered by the fact that he hasn't done anything and he hasn't come down from this mountain. Now we understand that these people knew that what Moses was doing. They knew how long he was going to be there, but all of a sudden, just being still and waiting on God, they begin to get discontented in their life, and they began to get disappointed in God's man. God appointed Moses to lead these men. And not just that, but we find that they were disappointed in the Lord. Now, they may not have said that, but we find that they say the word gods. And so we find that they were discontented with God. And so we find disappointment in our life. And we can be disappointed, I believe, in these same type of people. We can be disappointed in man. And you may be here tonight and you understand that you have a great preacher, you have a great man of God, but there may have been a time and there may have been a something that has been said where you were disappointed in the fact that there is a preacher that stands against the things that you desire to do. Maybe there's a preacher that that God has sent by this way, and maybe it's the man of God that God has put here in this place to lead you and to guide you and to teach you and to pray for you. And this is the man that God has given for you. And if you're not careful, there's going to be things that arise in your mind that you want to do that you simply can't do, but the man of God stands against it. All of a sudden, you find yourself disappointed in the man. Maybe you're here tonight and you have parents that stand against the sin and the wickedness that you desire to do. You have things in your mind and your plans, and they say no, and you want to get, you're bothered and you're disappointed in the fact that they say no. Amen. Maybe you have friends tonight that somebody, you have conspired with your friends to do something, but they have once again stood against you and said, no, we can't do that. That's wrong. That's sin. And you find yourself disappointed. Disappointed in man. But you can also be disappointed in the Lord. I know we sing the song and we've sang it, I think, here at the church, that I've never been disappointed in the Lord. But if we were honest tonight, maybe we can think of some time in our life where we have prayed and we have asked God to do something in our life, and God didn't answer how we wanted Him to. Amen? Or He didn't answer in the time that we wanted Him to. And if we're not careful, that disappointment can come, and that disappointment can lead to discontentment. Amen. And so we see that these people are disappointed. And because of that, they are discontented in their life. I want to ask you tonight, how do you respond when God doesn't answer the prayers that you pray how you want Him to? How is it? Do you put matters into your own hands? Do you ignore God's word and ignore God's direction for your life and begin to put the matter into your own hands? That's what these people did. They were ready to move on. They were ready to see something new. But then they find themselves discontented in the life that they had. But what a life they had. Amen. They had manna from heaven. God had led them out of Egypt. God had done all these great things, and God had blessed them and was taking care of them. And what's amazing to this is we find them discontented, but in Exodus chapter 19, they make this statement, and all the people answer together and said, all that the Lord have spoken, we will do. Now all of a sudden, they're disappointed because things aren't going their way. Now all of a sudden they're discontented because things aren't falling into place how they want them to. You, as I've said, you may be here tonight and you may be in a place of disappointment. Maybe your parents told you no on something that you really wanted to do. Maybe it was the preacher. You wanted to do something and he said, no, we can't cross those lines. We can't do that. And you're disappointed. That is a very, very dangerous place to be tonight. They were all good. These people were good. Everything was going good until somebody more spiritual than them rubbed their immaturity and insecurity the wrong way. And tonight, you're in a good place. God feeds you here. God takes care of you here. God blesses you here. You have a family at home that you get to go home to, and you read the Bible and you pray. But there is a little bit of disappointment for something little bitty in your life. And you're in a place of disappointment tonight. And that is the contamination stage where you begin to contaminate your mind with all of the disappointment that you have inside of you. It's something so small, but how quickly it can lead to our next stage, which is the stage of the separation. We find detachment here. In verse 4, the Bible says here, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool, and after he had made it a molten calf, and they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." This is where they began to detach themselves from God. They want a man, they want a God fashioned after a man's hands. Then elevate this God as if he is the one that brought them out of the land of Egypt. In verse 5, it says that when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." You see what Aaron did there? He took what was ungodly and wicked and he said, "Tomorrow we're going to have feast unto the Lord with this thing." He begins to mix a wicked, ungodly idol with the Lord worship. Amen. And that is exactly where we are at today in a society. Amen. This world wants to mix in everything that has that wickedness and ungodliness, and they want to mix it in with Lord worship. And that is what maybe tonight you have thought, "Well, I'm still going to go to church. I'm still going to sing in the youth choir. I'm still going to sing in the choir. I'm going to go in the youth activities, but I am detaching myself from everything spiritual." You enjoy the times of fun, but you don't enjoy the times of spirituality. And that is what these people have done. And obviously, because this is how man works, Aaron was set here to be a help and an encouragement to these people. But he ends up giving in to their desires. We could say much about Aaron in this, but we find that Aaron begins to mix the unholy with the holy. And these people do the same. You know, it's amazing. This story is related to multiple times in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 7, verses 38 through 40, the Bible says, "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey." Listen to this phrase. "But thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, Make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him." This phrase, "thrust him from them," is just simply of them going back on the commitment that they had made to God in Exodus chapter 19. They also made that commitment again in Exodus 24. We find these people were committed to God until God began to rise or bring up things that were against them. Amen. Their hearts departed from him. If we aren't careful, we can be discontented with this same mindset. If we aren't careful, we can change our commitment on what we have said before to God. "God, I'll go all the way with you. I'll do all things. I'll live the way my parents say, and I'll live the way the preacher says, and I'll do all these things." And here's the issue with that. You can do everything your preacher says. You can do everything your parents say. But if you don't do it because God says it, your commitment is insincere. Amen. And so we find this here, that these are people that they have went back on their commitment. Where can we detach ourselves? Well, we begin to detach ourselves from the Word of God. Amen. I would not be shocked tonight of how many people have already tonight, here tonight, have detached themselves from the Word of God. You've detached yourself from His book because you know His book says something that you're doing is wrong, and you don't want the Lord to speak to you about that specific thing. And so instead of the Lord showing you and convicting you, you decide to close the book and detach yourself from what God says. Amen. You've detached yourself from prayer because you know that you have sin in your life, and you know that God is not going to hear your prayers, and so you have detached yourself from prayer. And you begin to detach yourself not from those two things, which are the most crucial, but then you'll find yourself detaching yourself from the pastor and from the church that God has given you. You'll find yourself making excuses not to go to church. Why? Because you are detaching yourself away from everything that God has given you that is good. Amen. I would say this tonight. How many times have we seen it? Someone gets to this stage all because of discontentment in the good life that they have. We've watched young people grow up in this church, become adults, probably get discontented about something and leave the church. They see money, popularity. They see less rules and less restrictions. This crowd that doesn't want any rules, they don't want a God. Amen. There's literally nowhere you can go in this walk of life where you're not going to have a set of rules. Even the world has rules. But you think, well, God wants us to live this way, and my parents say this, and I don't want that. And you begin to get discontented. And it's amazing how many people can sit in a good church, have a good family, and all of a sudden they begin to act like everyone around them has changed and become hypocritical. How many times I could say that I've seen people begin to criticize the other people, the ones that are doing it right, the ones that are living for God, and all of a sudden they're the bad people. It's because they've detached themselves from all things godly and began to attach themselves to wicked things. And it's amazing how God raises up an Aaron in this situation to create them a God. I'll tell you this, God will raise up somebody. He'll raise up a friend, a boy, a girl, maybe some friends at work. He'll rise up somebody in your life, hey, that will begin to play with your emotions and hear you out. Man, I've just been under bondage of this life. You know, my parents have always said, do it this way, do it this way, do it this way. And man, I just don't want nothing to do with that no more. I'm just really, here we go, sick of it. And God will use some little Aaron in your life to tell you, there's a better way. There's an easier way. There's a way that's a lot more freer. You don't have to do all those things. All these podcasts, that's all they are, is to get people liberated from the truth, right? And God will begin to allow these things to play into your ear. You'll see other youth doing things differently than how we do. And you'll think, well, they're having a good time. Why do we have to do it this way? They were detached from all the things of God. All because of disappointment. Something so little of, man, I don't know if this is all that life should be. And they begin to be discontented, and then they fall to this stage of detaching themselves. And then right after that, they began to defile themselves. This is the corruption stage. Verse 6, the Bible says, and they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. They corrupt themselves with idolatry. I'll say this, if you don't live for God, you live for idols. It's one or the other. Amen. And if you're not living for God, there's something that you're living for. Amen. It may be for money. It may be for a name. It may be for a boy. It may be for a girl. It may be for something. But if you're not living for God, you're living for something else, and it's an idol. So these people were idolatry, infidelity, immorality. Verse 25, you find these people dancing naked. They had lost every sense of morality that they had because of disappointment, because of discontentment. There's got to be more. Here they are after he led them out of Egypt, led them across the Red Sea, fed them with manna, yet they turned their backs on God. How quickly this corruption came. I believe there's a quick phase from stage 2 to stage 3. In verse 8, the Bible says, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. Before they even knew it, they were in sin and in wickedness. It doesn't take long to see that sin will take you farther than you want to go. It's amazing how this crowd, they're in church, they're living for God, but all of a sudden they begin to listen to music they never listened to before. They begin to wear clothes. They said, I will never, ever wear that.
They began to talk and say things that they had never said before. They began to drink and to smoke things that they had never done before, all because of discontentment. I'm going to try this, and I'm going to try that. I'm going to try all these different things here. They began to do this, and you may be here tonight and say, well, preacher, I understand that, but listen, I may be disappointed in some things in my life, but I'd never do that. I would never do the things of this world. I've heard that same statement made by some that are out in the world today, that just 10 years ago, they were singing some of the same songs y'all were singing. They were teaching some of the Sunday school classes that some of y'all are teaching. They're in the church that some of you are in today. And we have watched them. They got discontented. They wanted more. They wanted sin. And before they knew it, their disappointment led them to defilement. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 once again relates back to this in Exodus 32. Verses 6 through 12. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and arose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. None of these people had it in their mind that they're going to fall one day. But just a little bit of discontentment. They wanted just a little bit more. And before they knew it, they had defiled themselves in wickedness. I don't speak out of turn tonight, but it breaks my heart. When you see a young person singing for God and God is using their life, and the next thing you know, their life is just completely engulfed in sin. No way out. No escape. All because of discontentment. I want to say this, young people, tonight, you better pay attention. You think everything's easy and everything's going great right now, and you've made a commitment to God. You've told God, God, I'm going with you all the way. Mom and dad, you think, no, we got this. We're going. We're going to go to church. We're going to serve God. We're going to live for God. But you better take heed. They've fallen before because of discontentment. And you go home and you're discontented with the preacher, and your kids will be discontented with the preacher. You go home and you're discontented with the things and in your life, God is doing things, and your kids will be discontented with those things as well. The last stage we see here is the destruction stage. Verse 28. The children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men slain to death because of their sin. You see, we have to understand tonight, and we know it throughout the Bible, that sin, the person that commits the sin is not always the only one that pays for that sin. 3,000 men were slain. There was kids left without fathers. There was moms left without a husband. There was people that were left here, just died drop of the dime. Everybody's dying because of some discontentment in their life. They just wanted more. Just wanted a little bit more. And not contented with what God had given them. What more could you ask for than this right here? There is no greater life. You're looking at one. We have testimony. My wife has a testimony. There's other. We've seen the world. We've tried the things of this world. We've tried it all. We've seen it all. And listen, all of those things have their fun time, but I promise you they have their scars too. And you can go out there and you can think, but I'm just going to detach myself a little bit because I'm really just tired of this slavery. I'm tired of all these rules. I want to just step out of the bounds for just a little while. Oh, but friend, you better be careful because a little while will turn into years upon years upon years of living in sin. And your life, before you know it, will be destroyed.
Real quickly, then how do we keep ourselves from doing this? You may be here tonight and it wouldn't shock me. There's somebody here disappointed, discontented. It's on your face. You can't hide it. Your parents see it, they know it, they're praying for you. So how do you stop this discontentment? Four things. First, you got to recognize the source of this sin. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such thing as ye have, for he have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What is covetousness? As I was trying to pronounce that word for 30 minutes. It's easier in Spanish, codicia, amen. But what is this word? It's the 10th commandment. And if you'll study the 10 commandments, you'll find that every one of those commandments hinge upon number 10. Thou shalt not have other gods. Why? Because you coveted and wanted another god. Don't commit adultery. Why? Because you coveted and you wanted something more than what God had given you. Thou shalt not steal because you coveted. You stole it. It all hinges on commandment number 10. And the reason you're discontented is because you've seen something and you covet it, you want it, you desire it. You see the fun times, you see the smiles, but in all reality, you don't see the terror that it'll bring to your life. What you need to do tonight is recognize the source of this sin. It's an overeager desire for the things of this world. It's a lusting after what God has forbidden or withheld from us. Not all the time is it something bad. It ain't bad for a young lady to desire a husband, but it's a bad thing when a young lady steps outside the bounds of God's word to find that husband. It's not a bad thing for a young man to desire a wife. That's a good thing, but it's a bad thing when you have to step outside the bounds of the word of God to find it. You may be here tonight and you want God to give you somebody to love. You want God to give you somebody to show you a little bit of romance. Listen, you better not go to this world to find it, friend. Hey, you better just stay close to God, and God in His time will give you what you need. Be careful with those coveting eyes.
That's right.
Be careful. Realize that's the source of it. You're disappointed because you're coveting. You're looking at it. You want it. But what you need to do is open your eyes and see just how much God has blessed your life. Paul said, I have learned that whatever study him to be content. Be content with what God has given you.
Yes.
Number two, resist being stiff-necked about your sin. Proverbs 29:1, he says, he that being often reproved hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. We see that in this chapter, Exodus 32:9. It is a stiff-necked people. I've preached that many a times to our people in Guatemala. I've called them stiff-necked. They're new converts. And I've told them, I said, you're being stiff-necked right now. You're not getting right. How many times the people, they hear somebody call out their sin and they bow up. I ain't getting that right. Listen, this is my life. I'm going to do what I want to. And you can do that. You can. God is not going to force you down to the ground and make you get right. But I promise you one thing, He will make your life miserable if you're a child of God. He says that they'll be destroyed. Studying the Bible, you find that God is a God of long-suffering, but I believe He's long-suffering to sinners. Most of the time when He's dealing with a Christian, He puts them through chaos to get them right. It's not a long life of sin. He usually deals with them pretty fast. And that's why I have a big issue with these people that go out and just live years upon years upon years upon years in sin and never feel bad, never get right. Hey, just have a good old time. Hey, there's something majorly wrong with that. And I promise you, that's not the character of God dealing with a saint. I think half this crowd's just lost.
They just didn't get it. They just didn't. Don't be stiff-necked. Don't be mad about it. When the preacher, hey, when God gives the preacher the message, hey, so you can wake up to the reality of what you're doing, hey, don't bow up, don't cross your arms, hey, don't get stiff, hey, just say, God, you're right, I'm wrong, oh, God, please forgive me of this, leading up to our second point, repent, just get it right. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. You know what God is able? He's able to forgive, but He's also able to take it completely away. To clean you completely anew. Amen. I mean, He's able to take that sin completely away from you and make you new. Amen. You're disappointed right now, but God, in just a moment, you repent about it, He can make you feel a lot better. He can get you to a state of contentment in your life. Repent about it. And lastly, realize the significance of your discontentment. These people lost their lives because of discontentment. Physically, they lost their life. Back 2 years ago, we had a young lady in our church in Guatemala. Her and her husband First marriage I ever got to do, married them. I don't ever want to do another marriage. But we did the marriage and everything was good. We did about 6 or 7 weeks of counseling, and now I told our people that we'll probably do 6 months of counseling. But we did these 6 weeks of counseling. We sat down with them, and I mean, listen, when you become a missionary, you do things that you're just not ready for, amen? And we began to do these things and just try our best. And I mean, they got involved, we're serving God, living for God. And all of a sudden, this young lady, she got discontented. She wanted more. Her husband was working a decent job and making an average Guatemala salary, about $50, $60 a week, and I mean, was making money. But all of a sudden, she got a little discontented, and she wanted more. She detached herself from the church, and we would have Bible study, and I would ask, y'all been reading your Bible? You've been praying? And she would always say no. She detached herself from all of those things. And then just a short while later, she starts getting tattoos. The next thing we know, she's working with the MATA, which is the gangs, the MS-18 and all that stuff. And I mean, a Christian lady who is living for God and serving God, within just 6 months, she fell into this life of sin. She's still involved in all these things. I'm going to tell you what it's done. It's destroyed the family. She's got a little 2-year-old daughter. She has a little 3-week-old baby. Daddy, he don't even know if this new baby is his because of the gangs and the things they do to these women. But I'm talking about a life ruined by sin. All because of discontentment. You're here tonight and you're in church. But you're detached from church. You're not involved because you've detached yourself from those things. And you're at stage 2 right now. But just quickly, you're going to fall in stage 3 if you're not careful. If you don't get it right tonight, if you don't get it right soon, you're going to fall into this next step of defilement. You're going to be waking up with tattoos and sin and wickedness all over your life. You say, preacher, why you're a missionary. Why would you? I wouldn't preach this if I didn't feel like God wanted us to. I fought with it all day. Tonight, I don't know what your situation is, but I beg of you, please get it right. We've seen too many fall. We've seen too many fall by the wayside, and I'm telling you, it breaks my heart. Some of my best friends just people that we taught in Sunday school, people that we loved and we prayed for, just within just a few months, just gone from the things of God because of discontentment. Tonight, how are you? Are you disappointed in something? Are you content in the life that God has given you, preacher? You can come. Are you content tonight? Preacher's giving us liberty to invitation. Every eye closed, head back.